The fourth conference, The Nation and Emigration, has been postponed because of the COVID-19 pandemic, as announced by the Cuban Ministry of Foreign Relations on March 12th. The ministry will announce a rescheduled date for the conference in due course. We will continue with our reflections on Cuban emigration on Notes in the Revolution in preparation for the conference. In Cuba and the Cuban Americans, published by Fondo Editorial Casa de las Americas, Jesús Arbeláez analyzes the Cuban migratory phenomenon. I draw upon the final four chapters of the book to offer reflections on Cuban emigration in today's edition of Notes on the Revolution. Emigration from underdeveloped countries to the nations with advanced economies is a normal tendency in the modern world system, one of several consequences of the problem of unequal development. The necessary global structural change has been proposed with increasing clarity and unity by the once colonized peoples and nations of the Third World since the 1950s. But the proposal persistently has been rejected by the global imperialist powers. In this global political context, emigration emerges as an individual solution in which persons of poor countries can overcome their material dissatisfactions through the bold and difficult act of migrating to a nation with a stronger economy and greater possibilities. The individual solution is supported by the governments of the migrants' countries of origin, which see in emigration an escape valve. On the other hand, the nations with the advanced economies seek to block the entrance of the migrants because their concepts of economic development did not anticipate the phenomenon, and they are not prepared, either economically or politically, to receive migrants on a mass scale from the neo-colonized zones. Cuban emigration appears consistent with the global tendency when looked at statistically. Between 1959 and 2010, some 1,539,650 persons migrated from Cuba, equivalent to 8% of the Cuban population, of which 80% migrated to the United States. The Cuban migration rate of 8% is 12th among the Caribbean nations and 16th in Latin America. The English and French-speaking countries of the Caribbean have higher migration rates, in many cases higher than 20%. Latin American countries with higher migration rates than Cuba include El Salvador with 14.5%, Nicaragua 9.6%, Mexico 9.4%, and the Dominican Republic 9.3%. Although Cuban emigration is statistically normal, the statistics hide its fundamental abnormality. Whereas the United States places significant restraints on natural migration from other nations, with respect to Cuba, it has attempted to stimulate emigration by granting refugee status to the Cuban migrants and providing them with financial support in their new land. The intention of U.S. policy was to deprive the Cuban Revolution of needed professionals and technicians, and to establish a social base in the United States for a counter-revolution to which it provided financial and logistical support. Joined with its blocking of trade and investment with Cuba, the intention of the United States was to create economic difficulties and promote political destabilization on the island. At the same time, whereas other countries have encouraged immigration as an escape valve, Cuba, from 1959 to 1978, had an anti-emigration policy, which included the selective issuance of permits to leave the country, confiscation of property of those who had abandoned the country, and the selective issuance of permits for emigrants to re-enter the country. These policies were formed in the context of the revolution's intense conflict with the United States, the criminals of the Batista dictatorship, the landed oligarchy, and eventually Cuban owners of industry. The policies were designed not only to block the flight of criminals and stolen funds, but also to protect the nation from terrorist activities carried out by organizations formed in the emigre community in Miami. These migratory policies enjoyed wide support among the Cuban people because of the ties between emigration and counter-revolution. Inasmuch as emigration was functional for U.S. counter-revolutionary policy, it was viewed as treason by the people. Nor was Cuba oriented to resolving its economic problems by encouraging its citizens to leave. The Cuban Revolution sought to protect the social and economic rights of all of its citizens, implementing structural change that severed neocolonial relations with the imperialist power. This concept of independent economic development did not contemplate an escape valve of emigration. In the long run, however, Cuban migratory policy was seen to be caught in a contradiction. By limiting emigration, the revolution was creating a situation in which it would be living indefinitely with a sector that was unsatisfied with their lives in their country, which was fertile ground for the seeding of counter-revolutionary activities by the enemies of the revolution. And it also was a violation of the principle that socialism is constructed voluntarily. At the same time, things were changing in Cuba, in the government of the United States, and in the Cuban emigre community. In 1978, in a context in which the Cuban Revolution had been consolidated, the U.S. government had moved toward peaceful coexistence with the Soviet Union and the normalization of relations with Cuba, and there had emerged a stronger voice in the Cuban-American community in support of peaceful coexistence with Cuba, Fidel called for a dialogue with the Cuban emigre community, and the first encounters between the Cuban Revolution and the Cuban emigration were held. However, in spite of this historic gesture by Fidel, there was not a consensus in Cuba, either among the people or within the government, in support of dialogue or a change of policy toward the emigration. Although there was not a consensus toward a new migratory policy, there had been factors that were stimulating Cuban emigration with social sources different from the emigration of the early 1960s. For the youth of the 1970s, life was full of meaning and purpose under the guidance of the revolutionary leadership and the great majority of the people. But some felt marginalized from the logic of the process, in a context in which there were exceptional opportunities being offered by the United States. Inasmuch as the great majority of people were fully on board in the revolutionary project, the revolutionary leadership did not see the dissatisfaction of some, and it did not foresee the migratory explosion of 1980. The Mariel explosion, however, was a one-time release of tension. During the 1980s, the Cuban emigration rate declined in a context of relative political and economic stability. The economic crisis of the special period of the 1990s, caused by the collapse of the Soviet Union and the socialist bloc, provided a new stimulation to emigration. The Cuban emigration of the 1990s was not connected to counter-revolution, as in the 1960s, nor was it connected to dissatisfaction with the revolution, as in 1980. It was driven by economic hardship, and many who migrated were oriented to providing financial support for their families in Cuba. Therefore, there was not a negative attitude toward emigration among the leadership nor the people, as there had been in the 1960s and in 1980. Since 1978, Cuban migratory policy has evolved toward an acceptance of emigration as a dimension of Cuban reality. It has gradually moved to normalization of its migratory policy and its relations with the emigration, leaving behind the conflictive context of the early 1960s. This evolution has been sustained in spite of the hostile and aggressive policy of the United States toward the revolution since the 1990s, because Cuba has had an objective interest in the qualitative transformation of its relations with the Cuban emigration. Accordingly, Cuba has sought to regulate migration on the basis of agreements with the United States and other nations seeking a legal and orderly emigration. The Cuban government today conceives relations with the Cuban emigre community as integral to its quest for economic and social development. On the one hand, the Cuban emigration in various nations of the world can act in the nations where they now reside as advocates for the termination of the U.S. blockade and for the establishment or deepening of economic relations with Cuba. And on the other hand, the Cuban emigration is able to contribute to the economic development of Cuba through investment in sectors that are given priority in the Cuban Development Plan, either through establishing themselves as formal investors in Cuba in accordance with Cuban regulation of foreign investment, or informally providing financial support to Cuban citizens who are developing private enterprises in accordance with Cuban regulations with respect to self-employment and small-scale private property. We will continue reflecting on issues related to Cuban emigration in subsequent episodes of Notes on the Revolution in preparation for the fourth conference, The Nation and Emigration. This is Charles McKelvey reflecting on the unfolding global popular socialist revolution forged by our peoples in defense of humanity.